both chapters. Then we'll go into Matthew chapter number 23, then the book of Luke, and then Mark, and then Isaiah, and Malachi. We're going to look several places tonight. The Lord gave me this message Thursday night. I was preaching in Old Fort, North Carolina. And you know how sometimes our brother Charles will understand, you're preaching and the Lord just give you a thought while you're preaching. And the Lord gave me this while I was preaching on Thursday night, and got back to the room and just began to study and pray and develop it a little bit. And I thought at first it might just be a thought, and the Lord said, no, that's something that I think the church needs. So you pray for us tonight, and we'll try to give you what I felt the Lord's given us. And Revelations chapter number 2, if y'all there, say amen.
Amen.
I appreciate the good singing tonight. If you know what's going on in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, is these letters to these seven churches of Asia Minor. And people differ on whether they were literal churches or whatever and all that. I don't give a flip how you look at it. The words are the same. Amen. And they're everyone applicable to you and I. Amen. We can look at every one of these churches and get some help from the advice that was given. Now I want you to look through them and you'll see just a little bit. In chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Lord said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth seven stars in his hand, or his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Now, stop right there just for a second. The Lord is actually bragging on this church. Would you agree with that? I mean, the Lord is actually bragging on this church. But then in verse number 5, watch what he said. Verse number 4, nevertheless, he said, you've got all this, you've got all this, you've got all this, you've got all this, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Let's see, jump over to, let me find another one right here. Verse number 18 in chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Wow. Then he goes on to talk to him about Jezebel. Let's see, jump over to chapter number 3. He said, unto the angel of the church of Sardis, write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and I like this next statement, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Jump over to verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Verse number 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I make them come to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm just trying to get you to get a picture of what's going on in these churches. Jesus is coming to church and looking around. The Lord's coming to church and looking around. And you know, a lot of times we love acclimates. I don't know if that's the word or not. We love people to brag on us. We love people to say, boy, that's good. I like that. We love people to say, man, what a bus ministry. What a children's church and what a children's service. And boy, yeah, all this stuff is great and fine. But how dare anybody find something wrong with us? You know the problem with the average independent Baptist pastor? The greatest problem to me that I see and I know more of them than all y'all put together. The greatest problem I see with independent Baptist pastors is this. You can't tell them nothing. You can't tell them nothing. They're right about everything. They do not have the ability to be wrong. They're a king up on their throne, and bless God, ain't nobody going to tell me. Y'all all right? Shake your little pointed heads. We'll be all right. Ain't nobody going to tell me that. You know what I learned? I had that same attitude. I'm just a cocky kid, preacher man. I didn't go to nobody's school, but somehow I thought, brother, God had elevated me and I knew it all. You know what I found out? I didn't know nothing. I found myself in a place where I was like, somebody please tell me. Amen. So Jesus comes to these churches and he begins to look around. And I can just imagine, you just picture this in your head. Picture a pastor and the Lord said, I know thy works. And by the way, he knows our works. We don't have to tell the Lord what a great job we're doing. We don't have to remind him that the buses are rolling out of here every week. We don't have to remind him about people getting saved week in and week out. We don't have to remind him about the visitation program or the nursing home program or the street ministry program or the Patch Club and the Pee Wee Club. We ain't got to tell the Lord all that. He knows our works. Amen. He knows our works. And can you see those preachers? Boy, when the Lord said, oh man, I see all these great things you're doing. This is good and this is good. Well, thank you, Lord. But then he says, nevertheless. Wait a minute. What are you talking about, nevertheless? And here's what the Lord does. And we can apply every one of these to us in several different ways. But I'm going to go in a different direction here in just a minute. The Lord comes to church and he looks around and he said, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is bad, fix it. Amen. This is all right. This is going good. Man, you got great love. You ain't putting up with the devil and his crowd. You're standing for the truth. You're suffering for Jesus. Man, this is good. This is good. But he said to that first church of Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee. Then it picked up business down here with Thyatira, and he said, I have a few things against thee. Amen. I wonder if the Lord came to the average Baptist church today and walked around, what would his report be? I've read of one organization, you can hire them and they cost a fortune. They come in and they're a Christian consulting group. And they come in and examine your church and tell you what's wrong with it. I kick their teeth out. Amen, in Jesus' name. I ain't paying somebody to come in here and tell me what's wrong when the Holy Ghost will do it for nothing. Amen. We just got to be able to take it and handle it when he tells us. Yes. Amen. What if we were to ask the Lord, hey, how about coming by and checking us out and really let us know what you think? One of the greatest things, you know, I travel every other week. I'm gone somewhere and preaching. And one of the things I hate the worst is when the pastor sets me down in his office and tells me or asks me, what am I doing wrong? Don't ask me that. I hate giving those answers. My job is not to go and critique your church or criticize your church. I'm here to help your church. And I understand sometimes they just need some help in different areas, and I give it the best I can. But what if we were to ask Jesus to come by and say, Lord, sit in with us for a few weeks and tell us what you think. Amen. Woo! And you know what? We ought to do that. If the Lord ain't pleased with this thing, let's shut the doors and go to the house. Amen. Let's sell off these buses and buy a few bass boats. Amen. I mean, let's do something worthwhile if the Lord's not pleased with it. Lord, look around. We ought to ask him, Lord, look at my Sunday school class. Lord, look at my bus route. As you pray, Father, if there's something's not right, show me what it is that I might fix it and go forward for you. Amen. Do you think there's a possibility there's something you're not doing right in your class? Or there's something you could do better? I mean, it may fall all the way back there to Ephesus where he said, you've left your first love. You're doing this out of duty now. You're not doing it out of delight. Amen. It just could be. It could be. Would it hurt to ask the Lord? Lord, what do you think about my bus route? What do you think about what I'm doing for you? Lord, show me what's wrong. I think we ought to ask him to do that. Just as much as we ought to ask him about our own personal self. Lord, examine me. Examine me, Lord, and show me where I need to fix and where I need to change. Amen. But most of us are so full of pride, we couldn't take it if he did. How many times have you sat in the service and the preacher hit an area and you go, you can't help but look over your shoulder to see if so-and-so's there to hear it. Come on, y'all, help me now. Talk to me. Man, I've done it. I've had preachers come in and preach for us and they hit an area and I go, man, what if so-and-so had been here? God knows who's here. God knows exactly who's here. Maybe it's not always for so-and-so. Maybe it's sometime for me. Amen. You know, I've not heard a message. It's been a long time since I heard a message. There wasn't something in it for me. Amen. We got to throw that pride out the window and say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, in my motel room this week, I got on my knees. And I said, Lord, I want you in the spirit. Just go by. Examine my church. And I prayed about this thing and prayed about this thing. And I know there's personal issues, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. How we function as an independent Baptist church. I want to take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter number 23. Now listen, if you've got a church or a Boy Scout group or a Girl Scout group or a hunting club or whatever it may be, a job, a small business, would you agree somebody has to be in charge? Yes, sir. Come on, y'all, talk to me. There's got to be anything with two heads, a snake or a monster, amen. Somebody has to be in charge. There has to be some supreme rule in the place. And I thought about this as I examined and in much prayer and talking and praying for the Holy Ghost to show me and give me some direction. I thought about Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 8. The Lord said, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. You know, I thought about this as the Happy Valley Baptist Church. It ain't my job to judge or examine nobody else's church, but it's my job to check this one out. I think we have the right master. Amen. I think we've got the right master at Happy Valley Baptist Church. And by the way, his name's not Eddie White. His name's not Charles Dyer, Freddie Young. His name's not any of the deacons' names. His name is Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. He has to be the head of this thing. And by the way, as long as I'm around here, he will be chief. Amen. Yes. And just let me say to you, he's a good master. Hallelujah. He's not a hard taskmaster. He ain't here to beat us to death. He's here to build us up. Amen. Thank God we got a good master tonight. Amen. The Bible said he's a good master. Boy, I know some bad masters. Don't you? But he is a good master. We've got the right master. You know, to have a good program, you got to have some right things in place, don't you? For anything to function, you've got to have some things that are right in place for it to work. And before a church can ever work, it better have the right master. It better have Christ as its head. And that's something we'll have to do. We'll have to work to keep Christ at the head of this thing. Amen. Sometimes I get cautious with all these seminars. I'm not against them. I get cautious with all these conferences where you go and they tell you how to do this and how to do that and how to do this and how to do that. Everybody thinks they got a monopoly on the bus ministry or they got this part of the ministry figured out. We can glean help from everywhere I know, but let's never get to the place where we get so educated about running a ministry that we don't need God to do it. Amen. Amen. Man, I started out in this thing trusting the Lord, and by the grace of God, I'm going to finish this thing trusting the Lord. What may be right for the church down the road may not fit our ministry. Churches are individuals. We're not robots. I remember for years as a kid growing up, if Jack Hiles did it, everybody had to do it. Baloney. Don't get at me. I love Jack Hiles. He's one of my heroes. But everything that worked in Hammond, Indiana, well, a bunch of Yankees in Chicago, won't work in small town Villa Rica, Georgia. Amen. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Right. I talk to preachers who go to pastor school and come home so discouraged, ready to resign because they felt like nothing in their little small mountain community after they had seen that great work. Man, you can't compare us to that. What are you saying, preacher? Let's not get too dependent on what everybody else is doing and how everybody else is doing. Let's glean and get help from where we can, but let's keep God at the head of this thing and say, Lord, you're in charge. You're at the wheel. If you want us to drive the buses backwards, bless God, we'll drive the buses backwards. If you want me to preach standing on my head, I'll preach standing on my head. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? We've got the right master. Several years ago, Brother Freddie was filling in as our principal in our school. You talk about a tough principal, boy. He was a bulldog. A set of unhappy parents, and we had those occasionally, called in one day and they had a problem. Well, they found out right quick they wasn't going to run over Freddie Young. He'd throw the rule book or the handbook, student handbook, on the desk where the parents signed the back of it. He said, you signed that? And they said, yeah. He said, shut up. Hey, man, you signed it. That means you read and agreed with everything in it, so go home. You ain't got a problem. Yeah. Either you lied then or you lying now. But this parent was hot, and he couldn't get, and it was a daddy, he couldn't get no satisfaction with Brother Freddie. He said, I want to talk to your boss. Who is your boss? He said, well, that'd be Brother Eddie. And they knew better than that too. And they said to Brother Freddie, well, I want to know who's over him. Brother Freddie said, the Lord. He said, he's not busy. He'll take your call right now. And the man said, no, isn't there some kind of hierarchy that oversees him? He said, yeah, he's as high as archy can get. He's on the throne in heaven. You got a problem with the pastor, you better take it up with his boss, and that's the Lord. And I want to keep it that way, and I aim to keep it that way. And we got to fight to keep it that way, or we'll get to thinking we're in charge of this thing, and we're running this thing. But no, this is the Lord's church. Amen. We have the right master. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. I was going to get you out of here quick tonight. I'd like to preach to you about 5 minutes. I never have done it, but don't mean I wouldn't like to. Luke chapter number 15. Why don't you look at verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, isn't that something? The religious crowd came to find something wrong with him. Sinners just came to hear him. Do you know it's pretty much that way today? Well, let me read on. I'll get off. And the Pharisees and the scribes, see, murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends together and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I said, number one, I believe that Happy Valley, we've got the right master. Secondly, I believe we have the right motives. We have the right motives. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody in particular, but some churches are nothing more than a social club. Some churches are a social club. Let me tell you something. You're sitting in a church tonight that is a friend of sinners. Yes, amen. We're a friend of sinners. We love them. The reason we do what we do is because we love poor old lost sinners who are dying and going to hell without God. Listen, man, that's got to stay our motive. Our motive cannot be to build big, beautiful buildings with ornate trim and marble pillars and all that stuff. And how dare a bus kid tear something up? I know churches around here, lower class people ain't welcome. Hey, they won't tell them that, but they're made to feel that way. Wrong motive. Wrong motive. Jesus said he came to call sinners to repentance. He said it was not his will that any should perish, but all come. I don't care if you came in a Lincoln Continental or pushing a doodle bug. You're welcome in this place. Hey, our motive is not to be choosy about who's saved and who we serve and who we minister to. Our motive is to populate heaven. Woo, that excites me. Hallelujah. They ain't nothing I like better than seeing sinners get saved. Yeah. Amen. I actually had a man, well, we're still back in our old building, visitor stopped, and he'd been about three times, shook my hand. He said, "You know what? I enjoy coming to this church." He said, "But do you know anything other than salvation?" I said, "I don't know anything better." Can I say that again? I said, "I don't know anything better." What he was saying was, all you ever preach is salvation. But you see, all he ever did, he came about three Sunday mornings. He didn't come back on a Sunday night and get this kind of message. He didn't come back on a Wednesday night and get another type of message. All he heard me preach was salvation. Hey, but if that's the worst thing I could say about my preachers, all you do is preach trying to keep people out of hell, I'd have to say, "Hallelujah, brother, go for it." I'll get the deeper stuff in Sunday school. You keep keeping them out of hell. Yes. Amen. Yes. That has got to remain our motives. When sinners are no longer drawn to us, we got problems. I made a joke, or another person made a joke, and I thought about it for a minute, and it was really a compliment. Another preacher asked me what they were building right down the street down here. I said, "A nut house." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." Rehab, psychological. He said, "I know where every one of them's going when they get out." Woo! Why is it they come here? They know they can. Why is it everybody down and out? Ain't got a job, fighting problems, family falling apart. Why do they come dragging in here with all their old baggage with them? Because they know they're welcome. They know they're in a place where somebody loves them and cares about it. Hey, that's got to stay our motives tonight. That's got to be what drives us. Which one was it? Which one of them little old boys I hugging on this morning, Thomas? Which one was that? Grip? Yeah, Grip. Grip was in trouble again this morning. Somebody said he didn't take his meds. Grip's one of our bus kids. And Grip is a trip. Always looks at me and says, "What's up, preacher man? Got any Skittles?" I love him. He is in trouble. Brother Thomas and them was kind of handling. I just walked up behind him in the gym, put my arms around him. Told him I loved. He said, "Does he aggravate you?" He aggravates a fool out of me. I love that little boy. And I tell you something else, that little boy loves me. And you mess with that little boy, you're going to deal with me. Why? Because our motive is to keep him out of hell. Our motive is to reach his parent. Our motive is to reach his neighborhood and to reach his friends. And we've got to push and we've got to fight to keep that our motive. I know churches who have changed their agenda totally for money. We ain't changing for money. You say, "What you doing don't draw a crowd." Well, we're living in a world where the truth ain't very popular. Amen. But we're going to keep our motive. What drives us, the driving force behind our church, has got to be sinners. Yeah. What a compliment. Yeah. What a compliment. When it says the sinners drew near to him. Yeah. I want to attract them like flies, boy. I want them to look at this place and say, "Maybe that's where I can get some help." There was a man in Mark chapter number 5. The Bible said he was full of demons, the demonic man of Gadara. He ran out of the tombs and met Jesus on the beach as soon as he got out of the boat and said, "Man, have mercy on me." What made people go to Jesus?
He could help them. Who gives a flip if you've got the best choir in the country? Who cares if you've got the best music program? And half of that has become nothing but entertainment. Some of that stuff makes me want to vomit. It ain't my job to tell nobody else what to have in their church, but I know what I won't have in mine. Amen. These Southern gospel groups, and I like Southern gospel music, got all this stuff choreographed. They stand on the platform like perfect little statues, and at a certain point of the song, they turn and face each other. I mean, it's gross. Man, it ain't worship, that's a performance. They used to have a Christian supper club down in Atlanta called the Joyful Noise. Anybody ever been there? Man, I used to love it. We'd go down there and hear Doyle Lawson and the Quicksilver and the Kingsmen and all that. All they did is perform. It's entertainment. Yeah. Somebody said, you go? Yeah, and I liked it. But I don't like it in here. I ain't here to be entertained. Amen. I'm here to have my heart drawn toward God. I don't want music that makes me want to do this. I want music that makes me want to do this. How I got there, I'll never know. They were drawn to Jesus because He had what they needed. They didn't come to Jesus because He was entertaining. That's what I was going to say. They came to Jesus because they knew they'd get my help. That old blind man, Bartimaeus, that old Daniel Waters sings about, he couldn't see nothing, but he had heard something. And they told him to hush, but he cried yet the more. Why? That man had something he needed. That man had something he needed. Hey, we've got the right master, and His name is Jesus, and we've got the right motive, and that is to reach sinners. Amen. Mark chapter number 16. I'll be done in just a minute. Mark chapter number 16. Y'all believe we got the right master around here? Yes. I do too. I believe we do our best to exalt Him. I believe we try our best to point people to Him. Amen. What did I say? Mark 16. Mark chapter number 16. Verse number 15. Mark chapter 16. Verse number 15. We know this is the Great Commission. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the what? The gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I believe we've got the right master. I believe we've got the right motive. I believe we've got the right method. I believe we've got the right method. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, man, we're never going to have a drama service around here. I'm about all the drama you're going to get. I'm not against skits and a youth rally and all that kind of stuff, but we ain't never, 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 never going to the, I don't even remember what they call it. They do this interpretive dance. Ain't happening. You say, well, I happen to like it. Go where they had it. It ain't happening. Ain't the right method. Sensuality will never draw sinners to Christ. Can I say that again? That just sounded right. Sensuality will never draw sinners to Christ. We're not going to go there. I believe we got the right method. This old book right here. It'll still work. You know what? It's still a good Sunday school literature. I'm talking about this old King James Bible. It's still good Sunday school literature. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation, Jew first and also the Greek. Amen. We've got the right method. There ain't no doubt in my mind. You say, well, you're just a little bit old-fashioned. Jesus is too. You know what He said? I'm the Lord and I change not. I'd say that's old-fashioned, wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, if He's the Lord and He changed not, He ain't changed in forever that way. And He ain't going to change in forever that way.
He's going to be the same God then as He was 10 million years ago, and He'll be the same God 10 million years in the future. He'll never change.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to stay old-fashioned. We're going to keep preaching this book. I told old Kyle back there, I don't know where he's at. I think he had to work, didn't he? I told Kyle, I said, man, you'll get on preach on one of them buses. He said, what are you talking about? He'd never heard of that. I said, four of them buses get here every Sunday. We got a preacher on every bus. And after they pick up the last kid, we let a preacher preach to them before they get to church. He said, far out.
Yeah.
I like it. I believe that's the right method. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Preaching still works.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm for good singing. I like it. And we're going to have good singing as best of our ability. But preaching still works.
Yeah. Right.
Every now and then, it'll get out of the banks around here. And the Lord will tell me, that's good enough. But some people put a premium on, oh, it got so good we didn't even have no preaching.
Yeah.
I believe the devil can pull that on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear what I say? I believe the devil. We got to have preaching.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Somebody said, I can't believe we went through the whole camp meeting and then Sunday morning, Sunday night, you didn't preach, you had somebody else. Man, I needed preaching. Well, Brother Harry Nix helped me. Brother Jonathan McNeese helped me. Brother Doug Fisher helped me. Brother Tony Shirley helped me.
Yeah.
Preaching works, man. Singing, sometimes, a lot of times, I'm an emotional fella. Stirs me emotionally. I got that new CD of our kids, man, and Sister Janice and Bibble. And I put that thing in the car. Number nine. I don't even know the name of it. I wonder why my God's being so good to me. I can't listen to it without bawling. It stirs me, boy. It stirs me when I think about how good God's been to me. And I do wonder why, God, you've been so good. And it stirs me emotionally and makes me want to worship. But preaching strikes me down deep in my heart and makes me want to get on my knees and say, God, I'm sorry.
Yes,
singing doesn't convict me, but preaching does.
Yeah.
Amen. We've got the right method.
Amen.
Somebody hand me a chick track. Anybody got one handy? How dare you go street preaching without one? Somebody said, why we spend all that money on these tracks? Because they worth every dime of it.
Amen.
Church is hurting for money the way it is, and we're buying 10,000 gospel tracks. We sure are.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's the right method.
Yeah.
It's the right method. It still works.
Yeah.
I believe in buses. Hey, church buses ain't in the Bible. But I believe they're the right method.
Yeah.
I don't believe every church has got to have bus ministry, but I believe this one does.
Yes, sir.
It's the right method for us, amen?
Amen?
It works. Street preaching may not be for everybody, but it's right for us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Them boys up there on the corner today, they had a banner as big as that wall. People riding by doing like this, telling them to turn around so we can see it. Had another black lady stop and got out of the car and helped them today. She said, can I hold one of your signs? And she did.
Yeah.
Brother Greg said she got over there in car windows, got to preaching people a little bit. Brother Greg said, uh-oh. I believe it's the right method.
Yeah.
Take it to them. Amen. I believe knocking on doors is the right method. I believe preaching to these children is the right method. I'm not against the puppet ministry. I like it. I started it. I'm not against promotions. I love them. You can't have a promotion too big for me. Somebody said, you bribing kids to come to church. How are you getting them there?
I get
a little bit mad. Can I get on soapbox just for a minute? I get tired of these jackleg preachers that don't get out of their office at all. All they do is sit closed up in a little room somewhere and study the Bible. They probably look at it porn on the internet. And then criticize us for bribing a kid. Hey, I'll buy my bicycle a hot dog. We'll build the world's biggest banana split. We'll have a rodeo, a monster truck. We'll jump a motorcycle over the building. Good God Almighty, I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's the right method. We built a banana split 100 foot long. Wasn't it, Brother Robbie?
75.
The next one, bless God, better be 100. Built it in a gutter. Rain gutter. We washed it out.
We had the world's biggest blizzard. Oreo blizzard. Mixed it up in a garbage can. We had a man coming out there with bull whips. And throwing knives at his wife. That's probably a bad thing to teach some of our bus kids. Go home, tell his little sister, stand against that wall right there. Show you what I learned in Sunday school. I kind of second guess that one a little bit. Oh, yeah. We had Brother Todd Bennett come. Blocked off the whole main street right here. Had the cops come and help us. He set them ramps up. Much of y'all seen him. He's a motor. He was a supercross champion. Now he has a ministry. Just travels the country and gives his testimony and jumps that motorcycle. He does all that crazy stuff. Gets off of it 30, 40 foot in the air. Just holds on to the back fender. He said, "You try it, preacher." I said, "You out of your stinking mind. You have lost your mind. Why would you let go of a perfectly good motorcycle in midair?" Oh, yeah, we've done all kinds of stuff. We got pictures of that motorcycle as high as our steeple out there. It's awesome. Don't talk to me about bragging, about bribing kids to come to church. Till you can tell me how many you got saved. Till you can tell me how many you've seen repent. Trust Christ as their Savior. Till you can tell me how many mom and daddies you've drawn in to come to a big barbecue that you're having for the kid and the daddy come in the sanctuary and give his heart to Jesus Christ. Until you can do that, shut your mouth. We've got the right methods. That wasn't in my notes. We're getting criticized. But the old man said, as long as they're kicking you in the tail, son, you must still be out front. Amen. We've got good motives. We've not gone liberal to get a crowd. Or methods. We're not going liberal to get a crowd. When there's a praise and worship team in this place, somebody else will be the pastor. Just telling you like this. It's not going to happen. We're not going liberal. Well, when are we going to start having a contemporary service? Oh, this is it. This is it right here. As long as God keeps sending us people like Michelle and Jeremy, they ain't missed a service. What a blessing. Jeremy walked out here this morning. And I hadn't even thought about it. My wife pointed out while we was eating supper or lunch today. She said, "That's the first time he heard you preach." They came last Sunday morning when Brother Harry was preaching. Back Sunday night, and they came back Wednesday night and heard Brother Todd. Jeremy shook my hand, went out the door, and a few minutes later, turned around, come back. He hugged my neck, and he said, "That's the greatest thing I ever heard in my life." What? I just stood there in the vestibule and cried. Brother David Connell put his arm around me. He said, "Don't leave." That's what I preached on this morning, "Don't leave." I'm not going to leave. This old book's brought us this far. It'll take us on, amen? We've got the right motive, the right master. We've got the right methods. It works, amen? Listen, here's the biggest problem I found concerning our church. Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3. And I won't stay here long, but I am going to hit it. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. "Bring ye all the tithes." That's the last book in your Old Testament. Yeah. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." Now let's stop right there. Hang on just a second. Let's understand what a tithe is. Somebody, tell me what that word tithe means. One tenth. That's what tithe means. Now these Old Testament saints, they did not tithe on 10% of their money alone. They tithe 10% of their crops, their flocks, 10% of everything. Now God said, "That's my part. The tenth is the Lord's," the Bible said. God said, "That's my part." He said, "Preacher, you're preaching on money." Yep.
That's where we're found lacking. We've got the right master. We've got the right motive. We've got the right methods, but we ain't got the money. If this church had money, we'd be dangerous. I'm not against the First Baptist Church right up here in town. We've got this building from them. But if our offerings were $75,000 a week, he said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse, that's this place right here. That there may be meat in mine house. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God is blessing in every area of this ministry. I walked into Brother Freddie's Sunday school. I eavesdrop on every Sunday school teacher. I hope y'all know that. I know Brother Freddie's class or Brother Charles. I can walk in the door and sit down. It ain't going to bother them, so I don't open other people's doors. But I opened Brother Freddie's door this morning. I sat down on the floor. And I thought, my soul, I'm glad our people have that. I'm glad our young married people had that. He's been teaching on the home. My goodness. This morning, I sat in there for about 10 minutes, and I thought, my, that's more Sunday school than most people's got in a year. Yeah. It was unreal. Brother Charles, Brother Warren, Brother Greg taught down in Brother Warren's class this morning. From what I heard, done a fine job. Man, God's blessing it. People's lives are being changed. Our bus ministry, Lord has blessed that thing in these past months. He's given money to the bus ministry, bought new buses. Somebody said, well, I don't know where all that money's going to the bus ministry. Open your eyes. We've painted our buses. We've lettered our buses. We've bought buses. Amen. I mean, we spent some money. But man, the money came in for it. People just saying, hey, I want to donate $2,500 to the bus ministry. Specifically, where they wanted to go. Our visitation, I know it's slack on the normal Saturdays, but we have our big pushes. Man, that was awesome. We had about 70 people. We knocked on over 500 doors on one Saturday. That was phenomenal. God blessed that. Amen. No doubt in my mind, God is blessing in almost every area of our church, but financially, we're dying. And I've tried to put my finger on it. Brother Freddie's tried to put his finger on it. Why would God bless in all these other areas and we suffer in this one place so bad? It hit me. Maybe it's because we're being obedient in those other areas. Maybe God's blessing the other areas because we're doing what He said do. And maybe this one area of our finances He can't bless because we're not being obedient. We've got a few visitors tonight, and I don't want to scare you off, but I got to tell our church something. We are beyond the point of needing our offerings to go up. We need a miracle. Preacher, the economy and people out of work. I know that has something to do with it, but not everything. Yeah, right. Amen. It has something to do with it, but not everything. Yeah. He didn't say how much to bring. He just said the tenth. Your tenth may be more than my tenth. Amen. Your tenth may be $10. Mine may be $5. But if I'll bring my $5 and you'll bring your $10. Yeah. God said if we'd be obedient to it, He said, will I not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that you can't even contain it? Yes. Amen. We need $5,000 a week to operate. You go, wow. We went and heard Brother Jack Scott, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, where Brother Hiles was. He had a question and answer question during lunch. I asked him the question. I said, do you know about what it takes to run that ministry per day? He said, oh, yeah, exactly. It takes $92,000 a day. I felt better. I said, well, hallelujah. $92,000 a day. Somebody good with math, Brother Greg, figure me out, tell me what that is a year. $92,000 a day. 28.3 million a year. Pretty good chunk of change, ain't it? We have a budget. Why? Because we have a ministry. Those buses have got to roll. I'm digging for my little paper and I can't find it. I don't know what the offering was tonight. We got a budget of $5,000 a week. Somebody said, why don't y'all have a board where you put the offering up? Because I wouldn't want you to vomit during the service. It's $2,100 this morning. I'm not bucking for a raise. I wouldn't take one if you offered it. Matter of fact, it gets much worse. I'll get a job. But I don't believe it had to come to that. Our missionaries are getting about half of what they ought to get. We can take a hit like this every now and then, but consistently, we can't make it. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. This is not meant to scare you. This is meant to wake you up. I believe this is our church's greatest need. Oh, we've got individual problem areas, spiritual areas in people's lives, but I'm talking about our church functioning as a church. I believe we love the Lord. I believe everybody in here has at least got a desire to do right. Paul had a desire in Romans chapter 7. He just couldn't figure out how to do it. Amen. I'm going to tell you how to do it tonight. Next Sunday morning, write the check.
Amen.
I said, but preacher, you don't understand. I make $200 this week. 20 of it's the Lord's. Maybe you're struggling as bad as you're struggling because you're keeping it. You say, you preach on money all the time, preacher? Seldom. I may hit this once a year. I don't beat you to death about money. I don't. Shouldn't have to. Brother Freddie in his class this morning was talking about a husband and a wife not doing right by each other. He said, and they want to go to counseling and get somebody to tell them what's wrong. He said, what's wrong is in the heart. He said, if that husband's got a problem with spouting his mouth off too quick and screaming, yelling at his wife, he said, the problem's his heart. Out of the mouth, it speaks to what? The abundance of the heart. Is that how it's, something like that? Not giving that tenth is not a financial problem. It's a heart problem. It's the Lord's. You say, preacher, you just don't understand. You don't understand. I've tried God on this thing. When we started suffering financially, really, and it hadn't been this bad in a while, but we've always struggled, always. You say, yeah, it's because you bought this big old building. No, we struggled in that little building. We didn't have money running out of our ears. We didn't have stocks and bonds in the bank. God have mercy on church, comes back, it's got $1 million in the bank. I want to be broke when he comes, but I want our bills to be paid. I don't think it's right for the church to hoard up money for a rainy day. Hey, brother, it's raining. People dying and going to hell. This is a rainy day. The world's in a mess. We're not saving for nothing. I mean, if we was in a building program, I understand. I think it's wrong to sit on money, but I think it's also wrong to have debts and not paying our bills.
Amen. Right.
We got the right master. We got the right motive. We're going to fight to keep it that way. We've got the right methods. Boy, we need some money. We need some money. Listen, I want you to pray about it, and I want you to tithe, but that ain't going to fix it. I need you to help me pray. I need you to help me pray. I've heard stories all my ministry by famous preachers who were sitting in their office one day praying, God, we're not going to make it if you don't help us. And somebody knock on the door. I remember Brother Tom Williams, the old cowboy preacher, telling us about that preacher in, was it Michigan or somewhere? Huh? California. A man came by his church, handed him a blank check. It was Mr. Firestone. Didn't even go to his church. He said, God told me to come by here and give you a blank check. He said, just whatever you need, fill it out. A man come by here and lay a blank check on my desk. He better have deep pockets. Because I'd fill it out. The ink would burn a hole through the paper. But I've heard story after story after story after story. And I don't believe they're lies, Brother Charles. I believe they're true. I believe these men of God had a great need and they prayed. And the Lord sent the money. We've heard Brother David Gibbs, head of the Christian Law Association. We heard him preach every year for the last several years. He's told story after story how that ministry, you know, boy, they help a lot of people for nothing. And how that great ministry would need money. And it just, people just, I mean, big checks. Did you know there's still people that can write big checks? They write them for everything else. They write them for whales that are washed up on the beach. Who cares? I cannot see a whale from here. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Amen. I mean, they write humongous checks for every little cause under the sun. Pound puppies and you name it. I believe there's somebody out there. If we'll pray real hard, could write a check for some of these little pound puppies we're bringing in. Will you help me pray? There's a few of us been praying together real hard. Help me pray specifically. Not that just that our finances would increase. And the only way that's going to happen is if we'll get the message. The finances of the church, Jesus set it up. Or the Lord set it up. That's the way to go. It's not fundraisers. It's not, what do they call those, capital campaigns. We're not going to do that. Amen. We're not going to sell bonds, and we're not going to do that. God's way is that offering plate. One of the men suggested the other day, preacher, maybe we ought to go take out a short-term loan. No, that's why we're where we are. Yeah. Amen. I believe if we'll trust God, He can take care of this. Amen. I don't just need you to start giving. I know some of you can't. It's hard to tithe on nothing. You out of work. As far as I know, we mentioned in the prayer room, there's 7 or 8 guys still out of work. So that's 7 or 8 families in our church, good families. I don't expect you to write a check on nothing. You can't do it. All we're going to do is take it to the bank and it's going to bounce. I understand that. But if you do got a job, you say, I'm way behind. Start tithing, see what God will do. Amen. Take Him at His word. He said, do it. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing. You won't even be able to handle it. You know what I did? It's been about 1.5, 2 years ago. I upped mine. I give way up above my tithes. Amen. Then I give to missions. And I increased that this year. Yeah. I'm not bragging, but I'm here to tell you as a testimony, I ain't missed a lick of it. Yes, I ain't missed a lick of it. God's been good to me. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm asking you, pay your tithes. It's the right thing to do. Just do it. Preacher, you're being hard. No, some churches will send you a bill if you don't. That goofy preacher in Atlanta, Creflo Dollar. That man's out of his mind. You got to show him your tax forms to join their church. Somebody said if you don't tithe, they'll turn you over to collection agency. I thought, man, that might make a good idea. No, I'm kidding. No, Baptist church is right here in this town. They send their members bills, boy. I'm not going to send you a bill. God already did. We know in our heart. You say, I can't stand it when you preach on money, because you know it's right. You know it's right. I don't mind doing my part. God's blessing me. But do your part. But don't stop there. Help me pray for this miracle. Amen. Help me pray for this miracle. Okay, God, we're going to do our part, but we need something extra. Yes, sir. We're going to agree together, God, to do our part, But we need something more. Right now, Lord, our part ain't going to cut it. Right now, our part, our people are hurting. We got people out of work and it's a mess, Lord. But we'll do our part, even though our part may little. You know, be little. You know, God can do a lot with a little. He fed a multitude of little boys lunch, didn't he do it? He got tax money for Peter out of a fish's mouth. Jason, we might ought to go fishing.
Let's go.
Let's do our part, but then help me pray that God will send a miracle. Lord, check us out. You got the right master. For the most part, you've got me where I ought to be. You've got the right motive. Your methods are good, but you ain't got no money. And it very well could be just because you're not being obedient in that area. I can't bless that area because you ain't doing right in that area. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Sister Janice, if you would come.